11. This is harder to get back into than Sunday morning was. I had to go back and refresh myself where all we'd been. And, Genesis chapter 11. While you're turning, let me read this. I saw this quote. Ronald Reagan said this. Says socialism only works in two places. First, heaven, where they don't need it, and hell, where they already have it. I thought, now you got to think about what he says there when you start considering what socialism is. He said it's only two places it'll work. I thought that's a little bit of wisdom there, I believe. So, something to think about. All right, Genesis chapter 11. This evening we began looking at, I don't know, a month ago now, I guess, it seems like. We've worked our way through. We've come through the flood. We've seen, again, how God there at Babel separated, dispersed, all to come up to chapter 12. He did all of that to get us to a place to get a man by the name of Abram. And we spent a little bit of time the last time looking, and some of you was here and don't remember like I do, but we spent some time looking at Abram. And we're going to spend several weeks, because Abram is such a key factor. Again, God, as you read your Bible, there's a plan. There's, you know, they had no idea what was going on. Some people today don't even have any idea what's going on. But there, God was going somewhere with this thing, you know. And again, all the way from Genesis chapter 3, there's a seed that's got to come about. And that seed, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to keep those things in mind. So we're going to look tonight a little bit about Abraham, and for several weeks. Let me go ahead and say this. Nobody in here tonight is going to like this, because everyone in here is guilty. We do not. This what we're going to look at tonight is the biggest problem in every church in the world. I promise you. Preacher, what's wrong with us? Flesh, our mind, our heart. And that's what we see with Abraham. So you'll see more about it as we get into it. So let's just read a few verses this evening. Genesis chapter 11. The Bible says in verse number 31, "And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, the son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth unto them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." And then verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, how in the world could that be? Well, I done told you. There's a seed involved. There's one going to be born in a manger. He's going to hang on a cross. And the whole world has been blessed through that seed. So let's look at some things tonight here for a little bit, and we'll get at it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this precious word. And God, I do pray tonight. God, it's convicted me today once again as we've studied back through and got our minds prepared. I pray, Lord, this evening, God, that you'd help us. Lord, I know, God, in our flesh we'll want to say no, but God, our spirit should speak louder than our flesh, I hope. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight to really see what the truth of the scriptures are this evening. Lord, it's not what I think. I'll be honest with you, Lord, I would never want to really preach this, but God, I pray that you'd help us tonight, God, to see this truth. God, help us to see where we need to be this evening, Lord. And God, I don't know the hearts of people here tonight. I know we've got needs, but there might be somebody's spiritual need tonight, Lord, of salvation. I pray, God, that you'd speak to that heart. God, I pray for our young folks tonight. They're in their classes. Lord, it's always good to see them active and at work. I just pray, God, that you'll just bless there. And God, again, just refresh our minds, God. Just help us to see with our heart. And God, again, help us not to be hearers, but doers. And Lord, we're going to praise you for what you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Now hold your place here in Genesis chapter 12. And you can turn over to Acts chapter 7. We're going to turn to a few places tonight. Not as many as usual. We like to, again, it's good to have some folks visiting with us. We like to use the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew there close by you. I'd like to encourage you to get you a Bible there and follow along with us. If you can't find where you need to be on some of these things, maybe your neighbor can help you out there a little bit. Acts chapter 7 this evening. We'll read some verses there in just a moment. Acts chapter 7. Before we read there, hold your place in Genesis 12 and hold your finger there in Acts chapter 7. As we read here in chapter 11 and into chapter 12, Abram is called by God to do three things. You know, people try to make God so complicated, and really, serving God is not that complicated. Serving God is really easy if we get some things out of the way. But God really just told Abram to do three things. And they're found there in chapter 12. And first of all, he told him to leave his homeland. He says, I want you to pack up from these folks here. You're moving. And then second of all, not only to leave his homeland, but then he said to leave your kindred. Leave his family. And then last of all, he says, I want you to leave home. I want you to leave the kindred. But then I want you to go somewhere where you don't know where you're going. Well, that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? But again, there's something that plays in part that affects not just Abram, but everybody. Our flesh gets in the way. So we're going to look at these three things a little bit tonight and go somewhere with this. But look with me over in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Look with me in verse number 2. Acts chapter 7, verse number 2. Verse 2 says, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Verse 4 says, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and when his father was dead, he removed from this land wherein ye now dwell. Now, again, we sort of have that same account of what we just read of what took place here in Genesis. But there's something very interesting I want to point out this evening. Again, I don't like to throw stones. When I find something that's an anchor for me, I like to give you that because these are ways that you can talk. Who was it? It might have been David who was with me. I don't remember who. We were visiting. Me and somebody else was visiting over here, and just happened to be a JW's house that we were visiting. And, man, she got so mad at us. And I didn't intend to be mad. I was just showing her Bible. And then she went and got her Bible. And then her Bible said the same thing as my Bible. And that really made her mad. But that wasn't my intentions to make her mad. But, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses are probably one of the greatest in the side of getting out and doing something there is. They're very busy. I wish we'd get us a little busy like that. But they always run about the same trails. And, of course, one of the things you'll hear J.W. talk about, you know, they don't want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we see him. They don't see that the Lord Jesus Christ is who? God. But I want to show you something, what we see here in Acts chapter 7. Notice what the Bible says. Again, Abraham here. The Bible says in verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory, what's the next word? Appeared unto our father Abraham. Now, when we see this, we see the word God of glory appear. And who is this? Well, that's God. That's what the Bible says, right? The God of glory. Now, wait a minute. The Bible also says that God is a spirit. The Bible also says he's invisible. So who is this? He appeared unto Abraham. Who could he be? Well, nobody ever seen God before except the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a fancy word they taught us in Bible college. A theophany, I think that's how we pronounce that word. That's a big word for meaning Christ appearing. So we see that Scripture tells us that the God of glory appeared unto Abraham. What I want you to see this evening is it could not be God the Father. So who could it be? It's got to be God the Son. How can that be, preacher? It's not the first time it's ever happened. What happened to those three Hebrew children down in the fire? What did the king say he saw? He said, I see one. Like who? The Son of God. Yeah. Who did Joshua see there going down the road that day? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't until Bethlehem, though, that the Lord Jesus Christ came robed in that flesh of a man and was birthed into this world and was clothed in that flesh. And I say that because one of the things that Jehovah's Witnesses like to tell you is that God and the Lord Jesus Christ are not the same. Well, I think this is just one more place to say, well, they've got to be the same. Because here we have the God of glory appearing to Abraham. And again, it had to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So just something, you know, it has nothing to do with our major study tonight, but just something I wanted you to see. But again, we see the fact that Abraham was called of God. And Abraham here shows a great picture of faith in a sense. Now, why do you say it's faith in a sense? Well, faith cometh by hearing. Well, Abraham had a little bit more than just hearing, didn't he? He actually saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is telling him what to do. So there is an element of faith in it because he put into practice something he could not see. God says, I want you to leave your land. I want you to leave your family. I want you to go. But I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Well, that's a great element of faith. So Abraham, again, is a great picture of faith. And he didn't have no idea, but he just simply believed God. And that's where I, in essence, need to get more back to. Somebody's like, what's that word? Essence? That's Ardle, North Ardle talk. Essence. Ewens. All of us's. Why do we have to, and again, I'm preaching to me. Why do we have to understand everything God wants us to do? Why can't we just believe God? I know I've said it before, Brother Rick misused with us this evening, but missionaries, not all of them, some of them are foolish. I really believe I've seen some men do foolish things. I don't believe, and I'm not just missionaries, but I remember when Michael Barnett stepped out by faith, quit his job, went full-time on deputation, and the majority of people that I knew that knew him said he was crazy. He didn't do that, I don't believe, just because he didn't want to work. He did that because he knew that's what God had called him to do, and he believed God would take care of him. Now, most of us tonight would never do that because we'd want to know who's going to pay the bills or how we're going to eat. Now, I'm trying to get you to understand this evening. This is not just preachers and missionaries. This is all of us. Faith, promise, giving. Well, I can't give a dollar to missionaries. I won't be able to buy no coffee. We've been giving faith promise missions for I couldn't tell you how long. And every year we try to get increase. And I might look like I'm bloating because of malnutrition, but I'm really just fat. I'm not missing any meals. What are you saying? I don't know how it works. It don't make sense on a piece of paper. But we're just trying our best to follow God. And that's exactly what we see in Abraham here, Abram, at this point. That he simply took God at his word and followed the Lord. So, again, a great element of faith. And there's a lot that we can learn here this evening, I hope, and over the next several Wednesday night as we look at this great man and the relationship of Abraham and God and Abraham. And Abraham was a great man. As you study your Bible, again, he is a very key element of our Bible, of how God put things in order to get it to where we are today. And so Abraham was a great man, but can I say this? And again, we're going to go there towards the end of the service tonight. You go over to Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith. Abraham is in that hall of faith, but the majority of those people you find in Hebrews chapter 11 were pretty useless people when you look at it from the sides of the flesh. They murderers, robbers, liars, cheats. But God used men and women just like those people of that day, and they were considered faithful. I'm saying that because Abraham, as great as he is or was, and he is a great man, but he had a lot of problems too. And I hope that'll be a help to us tonight. He's not a perfect man in any ways. He's not a superhero. He's just a man that God used, and God's still looking for some men that he can use. Now, right off the bat, we see something as we read here this evening, here in Acts chapter 7. Go back into Genesis chapter 11, chapter 12. Again, what did God tell Abraham to do? What was the first one? Leave home. Okay, did he do that? He did that. What was the second thing God told him to do? Leave your family. Did he do that? No. Not at first. Why? He took Daddy with him. Took Lot with him. That I'm not throwing curveballs at you. I'm trying to throw them straight down the plate. But do you see that? God says, Abraham, I want you to get up and go. So he got up and went. But he didn't do everything that God told him to do. And that's where we're going to spend a majority of our time tonight looking at that. The fact, because that's where most of us in our Christian walk get to. We get up and go, but we don't do everything God says. And so that's what we see here about Abraham. So God said, leave home, and he did. He said, leave your kindred, but he didn't. He took his dad, and he took Lot. And when God speaks, and again, God doesn't speak to us in audible voices. If you come to me tonight and say Christ showed up at your house tonight about 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to look at you and say, what did you eat for supper? Why? Because God doesn't do that anymore. Why? Because we have this book in your hands. This is the Word of God. This is all. Does God still speak to people? Oh, yes. Is it audible? Sometimes he speaks to me and it sounds like it's audible. I've said it many times, and it's been a while since I had one of those days, but I like those days. I've been going down the road before, radio off, just thinking, praying, talking to the Lord, and almost scared to look over beside of me because I think he was sitting right there with me. Preacher, you're crazy. Oh, no. It's good to see Miss Shirley back there. And the many prayers that Miss Shirley has prayed, still prays. I'll never forget. Been here 11 years. Come May, Miss Shirley come to me one time. We was preaching on prayer or something. And she says, I just talk to him like he's there. Well, that's pretty much how I'd like to talk to him too. Because sometimes I talk to him and it don't feel like he's there. I know he is. But he feels like he's a long ways off. So, as God speaks and God, and this is our problem today. There's a dumb joke that's run through my mind. It has to do with what I'm talking about. You know how you tell if a blonde's been using a computer? The whiteout's on the screen. Some of you get that later. What does that have to do with anything? We live in a cut-and-paste world. And that's how a lot of people like to do their Bible. They like to cut out what they don't like, and they like to paste in what they do like. Now, let me ask you something. Let me put something in here to hold my plate on. I can't stand in one place long. Is it always easy to do what God calls you to do? No. It's always right, but it's not always easy. Let's try to slide our feet into the moccasins of Abraham. I was always told, you don't know, you know, if you're not walking in a man's shoes, hard to know what you're talking about. So let's try to slide our feet into Abraham's shoes. Here's Abraham, just living life every day, getting up. Hey, Dad, I talk to my dad about 3 or 4 times a day. He does. He calls me when I call him, but we talk all the time. I'm going to miss it one day when I can't talk to him, but so I try to enjoy it while I can. Hey, Dad, how you doing today? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go plant the garden. I'm going to do this. Life was just going on. Grandma, Grandpa, whoever else. And one day, God speaks to Abraham, says, Abraham, you got to go. How would you like to get up and go? Would that be easy? You going to tell the grandkids bye? Can you imagine? Today, and missionary work's not easy in any times, but it's a whole lot easier today. I talked to Stacy Dasso today. I called Peru. He said it was really hot down there. He says exceptionally hot down there. He said they're saying it's going to be this way all the way through August. It's terrible, he said. But I could pick up the phone sitting in my living room and talk to a missionary. How many hours away that is? A long, long ways. You can get on the computer today and you can look at them as you talk to them through FaceTime or whatever that stuff is. I don't know it all. Skype, yeah. But can you imagine how it was 100 years ago or more? Men would, and I've read stories, and our ladies have been working on our library, getting things. We had some problems, water got in there, but they've been putting some things back together. Great missionary books back there. I've read stories where men got on boats, waved at their family goodbye, saying, I'll never see you on this side again. But as they waved by here, they waved hello over there. It's not easy. So, we can't take, you know, we've got so weak and we've got so lax and so comfortable that we want serving God just to be easy. But it's never been easy as far as the flesh goes. Why? The old man don't like it. But it really is easy if you die to your flesh. So, Abraham here was given a something to do. Again, he says, I want you to leave your house, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go somewhere that I'll tell you when you get there. So, again, too many of us, when God speaks, we like to cut and paste. But we got to learn to be 100%. Now, I know I've been told this, and I'm sure if you've served God any, you've been told this. Well, you're just being mean. Who do you think you are? Oh, you're just holier than we are, huh? Ring a bell with anybody? You serve God, that's the way most people are going to look at you. Again, three things. Abraham, I want you to leave home. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to go somewhere. Now, some people, not all people, some people say, well, you shouldn't question God. Anybody ever heard that? Well, if you said that, I'm not calling you a liar, but you lied. What do you mean you're not to question God? Well, the Lord questioned him. And he was God. I don't question God to contradict him. Sometimes I have to say, God, I'm pretty hard-headed and dumb. you know, tell me what we're doing. Why did God tell Abraham this? Is that not a fair question? I know what it was. God didn't like Abraham's daddy. Why did God tell him to do that? God don't just tell you to do something to be doing it. There's got to be a purpose. There's got to be a reason. Why did God tell Abraham to leave his homeland and to leave his family? Wonder why. Well, preacher, I think he just wanted to go somewhere where the weather was better. You'd be amazed what people say they think. But do you believe God would tell us why? How do you find answers to God, to the questions you ask God? Same place I find them. The Word of God. That's where you look for answers from. It amazes me. People say, well, preacher, what should I do? And I say, well, the Bible says that ain't what they wanted to hear. So then they go ask somebody else. You know what that tells me? They don't want to know. Preacher, what do you think? You probably don't want to know. Why did God tell Abraham to do this? Well, look with me in a book called Joshua. If you find Judges, you'll just go back a little ways there and you'll find Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Why did God tell Abraham to do this? Again, Abraham's a very key player throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. God was bringing a seed from point A to point B. A lot of things in between. Here's one of the first steps. Same first steps for us, though. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Now keep in mind our question. Our question is, why did God tell Abraham to do this? Why leave your daddy? Why leave your homeland? Verse 2, Joshua 24:2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there's our anchor, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other, what? Come on, help me out. Other gods. How many gods are there? There's only one true God. Jacob says, your fathers, even Terah, the father of Abraham, served other gods. Abraham, I want to use you. Got a great work that you need to do. But for you to do that, you're going to have to leave home. You got to leave your family. And you got to go somewhere that I'll tell you when you get there. Why? Well, Abraham, not mad at your daddy. I love him just like I love everybody else. But your daddy and your grandpa and your great-grandpa, they didn't serve me. They serve these other little gods. And I want you to serve me. And for you to serve me, I got to get you away from them. And that's where most of our problems come in today. God saves you. Praise God for that. God calls you to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But preacher, I like my friends. Your friends, if they're not saved and loving God, they're hurting you. They're not helping you. Preacher, I like to go do these things. If those things are sin or against the ways of God, they're not helping you. They're hurting you. Abraham, I got a great job that you're going to do. But to do it, you're going to have to do some things first. You're going to have to leave home because your daddy and your grandpa and kinfolk, they all served other gods and they didn't serve me. And I want you to serve me. So Joshua tells us here that Abraham's family served other gods. And to serve God 100%, to serve God wholly, we must cut ties with this world. Now again, this ain't popular. That's the reason none of us this evening are walking as close to God as we really can. Because it's hard to cut those ties sometimes. I had a preacher friend tell me this one time, and boy, I believe he really meant it. Well, I know he really meant it because he had to do it. His son, I won't tell you who it was, but his son wasn't doing things the way he should have been doing. And he said he tried to pull his daddy down to believe in what he believed, and this preacher, great wisdom, he told his son, says, son, don't ever put me in the place where I have to choose you or I have to choose God. He says, I'll have to choose God. And he did. But preacher, that's his son. Yeah, but that's God. Now again, this is hard to swallow. It's like eating that toast with peanut butter and nothing to drink. That's tough to do. It's tough to swallow. But that's my mama. I love my mama. But do you love mama more than you love God? That's my children. That's my friend. I guarantee you, if you'll let God really examine you and let you be honest with yourself, you'll find out that your so-called friends that are working contrary to the Word of God, they're trying to pull you to their level. Now again, this is just true. It's not nothing new. Here we are in the first part of the Bible. And God's called out a man. And to use that man, he says, you've got to separate yourself. And God's still calling people today to serve him, to live for him. But to do that wholeheartedly, you're going to have some times of troubles, or you're going to have to make a hard choice of, God, my youngin', God, my daddy. There's a lot of things my daddy says that, not bad things, but I had to correct him because it's not true. He's a good man. I believe he's a saved man. We all hear things and think, well, that must be right. Well, here we go. Well, you just think you know it all, don't you? Well, no. But I got a book that does. So, Abraham, I want you to leave home. But I want you to leave your family behind. Again, it's not easy. Most people today, and this is the reason our churches are the way they are, instead of separating ourselves from things, and again, there's days I don't want to talk to nobody. I get tired of fixing and talking problems. I had a guy say one time years ago, can't we just all get along? Well, that'd be no. But you know what we like to do? We just want to walk hand in hand through this world with the world. I'm saved. I ain't saying you're not saved. But you're not going to serve God the way God really wants us to serve Him and walk hand in hand. How can two walk together unless they what? Be agreed. Well, guess what? I try not to bring up politics. I'm really struggling. How do you vote for anybody? Well, I'm going to vote for so-and-so. Well, he's not perfect either. I like what, who was it told us that? Oh, it was Miss Nora. She says, well, we're not voting for a pastor. That does make it easier. But I don't link up with any of this crowd. You know, I think, again, this ain't no fun. Everybody likes to have friends. And I'll show you in a minute. I got the best friends in the world. But you know, I like not fitting in this world. If you fit in with this world, something's wrong with you. If your desires of this world, there's something wrong. I don't like that preacher. It's the truth. I didn't like it when the doctor said I needed to lose weight because I was fat. But it's the truth. What was he watching the news this morning? Ladies, I'm going to help you out. Be careful when you go buy clothes. Did anybody see that? Some of y'all don't know me. You're like, what's he going to do? You can't even trust the place you buy clothes now. They're putting in skinny mirrors. I kid you not. I watched it this morning. There's a company, New York. They're selling these things by the boatloads. They put these mirrors in there. And ladies, when you put that dress on, you look at it. And you ask your husband, does it make me look fat? If he's got any wisdom, he just sits there and looks dumb. And then you look in that mirror, and that mirror is made to make you look skinny. But is that not what we do to ourselves all the time? We lie to ourselves. Well, God understands. No, he don't. Well, wait a minute. Yes, he does. He understands you don't want to live with him. You don't like it at his house. I want to go down the road where I can listen to the music they listen to. Or I want to go to this church where I can wear what I want to wear. I can go to this church and not, you know, they don't have it but once a month services. I like those. I've told my wife, confession's good. If God would let me, I'd be a Lutheran preacher. Preacher, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. They have one service a week, and they make a lot more money than I ever make. Now, that's flesh. I'd never do that. Well, I wouldn't say never. I hope in my right mind I'd never do that. My granny always said, don't ever say never. But we want to walk hand in hand. But God says, Abraham, if I'm going to use you, you can't walk with this side. You got to leave daddy. You got to leave home. And again, it ain't easy. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. You cannot mix God in this world. It won't mix. Now, let me go ahead and say, this preacher is far from perfect. So don't sit there and think, well, buddy, he thinks he's arrived. You don't know me. I know me a little better than you do. Our church is definitely not perfect. I don't know of any church in the world that is. We're trying our best to hit the mark every day the same way. That's what I want us to do. Hit it right. If we're missing wrong, let's get over here where it's supposed to be right. But you'll never mix the world and God. It will not mix. You cannot serve God and mammon. But again, it's when God calls us to serve, and he's called everybody to serve, that begins one of the hardest roads you'll ever face, because you're going to have to make decisions. I know a lot of people that's taking jobs, and they said, well, God gave me a better job. I don't think God had anything to do with that because it took you out of church. God's not in that. Took you away from the family. God's not in that. So it puts you in a hard place. Let's look at a few examples really quick. Look over in Luke. Luke chapter 14. I'll give you some examples of this hardness. Luke chapter 14, look in verse 25. Luke 14, verse 25. Here's what the Bible says. It says in verse 25, it says, and there went great multitudes with him. Who's that him? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. What's taking place? I want to go. I want to do that. And bunch of people began to follow after Christ. Do you see that? That's what it says. Look at it. It says, and there went a great multitude with him. I've seen a lot of people that get excited in their flesh and say, I want to do that. I know a young man right now. He's not young. He's a little bit younger than I am. But there's about four of us surrendered to serve the Lord there about the same time. He went to Bible college with us. Said God called him to the mission field. Little old girl came into his life, and little girl overran God, and now he's not in church, as far as I know, and definitely not on the mission field. But there for a moment, he says, that's what I want to do. So here we see a great multitude following Christ. Notice what happens. Verse 25, and there went a great multitude with him, being Christ, and he, that's Christ, turned and said unto them. So we see a great multitude, they're following Christ. Christ turns around and says, you. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Now, boy, don't that just rub the chicken the wrong way? My wife's a chicken killer, too. Poor chicken Sunday didn't have a chance. She runs slap all over him. Poor chicken. But what did God say? He sees all these people. He's like, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. He says, unless you hate. Now that's pretty bold words, isn't it? But I love my daddy, and I do love my daddy. I love my mama, and I do love my mama. I love my wife. But God says, what does he say? Look at it. I didn't say it. God said, if any man come to me, that's what I did, hope you did, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his, I don't have any sisters, so it's not hard not to hate them, so, yea, and his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. And then verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So, what's he saying? He stops this great multitude of people. And he says, unless you hate your daddy, your mama, your brother, your sister, your wife, and your own life, you cannot be my disciple. He says, let me go a little bit further. If you don't pick up a cross and follow me, you're not going to be my disciple. What's he telling us? He's telling you everything opposite of what most preachers today are telling you. Most preachers today say, if you're living for God, you'll have plenty of money. If you're living for God, you'll have good health. If you're living for God, you'll do this, you'll do that. Most people ain't telling you, this ain't going to be easy. But he says, if you don't pick this cross up, if you don't realize the road you're getting ready to go up is going to be tough, you'll never be my disciple. That's what he says. Verse 28, look at that. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and that behold it began to mock him. That's such a problem. Did you see what he said? I've heard these things preached all different ways, but you got to put this thing in context. He's talking about discipleship. He's talking about following the Lord. He says, if you don't have that hatred of your own flesh and of your own family to follow me, you can't be my disciple. If you don't realize there's a cross to bear, you can't be my disciple. And then he goes on to explain it. He says, look, he says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? He said, look, before you say, follow, we will follow Jesus. I don't know how the rest of it goes. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Before you sing that, you better realize you're getting ready to go through hell to get following Christ. He says, there's a cross that you're going to have to bear. You're going to tell mama you're wrong. Mama, I'm going to go with God and not you. You're even going to tell yourself that. Notice what he says, though. Look at the extent of it. Sit down not first and count up the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. Paul said, I want to finish my course. That's what I want to do too. Look at verse 29. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Go to work tomorrow. Hey, fellas, you ain't going to believe what happened to me last night. And they're saying, oh, you got drunk, now did you? No, I went to church and I got saved and I loved the Lord. And you begin to be faithful to God on Sunday. And then all of a sudden the boys say, hey, buddy, hey, we're having a party Saturday night. Won't you come over to the house? Well, I don't know. Oh, it's going to be great. And you go. It's a great fall. You told them you were going to follow the Lord. You're going to despise yourself and anything else. But you let a friend say, oh, well, God will understand. Even the Lord turned water into wine. Everybody's got that excuse, they say. So, God's not... There's a lot of parents here tonight. You want your child to be saved, but that's about as far as you want them to go. Don't get too serious about this thing. You know, we just want you not to go to hell. Well, then God says, you're making a mockery of me. Is that not what he says? Verse 30 saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. A lot of people, not that I know, my race ain't done. Hey, I'm still digging. I could fall. I don't want to be another statistic, but I could be. I know a lot of men better than I am. They fail. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth down not first and consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I don't like that church over there. They got too many rules. I don't think we got enough rules. Nobody listened to them anyway. But God, I didn't say that. God said this. Verse 33, whosoever, anybody in here fall into that category? Okay. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland. Abraham, you're going to have to leave your family. I'm going to get you somewhere, but it ain't going to be easy. Same thing for us. You're going to have to leave some things. You're going to have to say, God, man, God. And it's not 99%, it's 100%. He says you got to forsake all. Again, I've heard all these things. You're in a cult. Well, I really am in a cult. But it's the right cult. I like the leader I got. His name's Jesus. I don't follow man, I follow the Lord. Well, they say, you know, and again, you read these things and you say, does God hate these people? No. If mama's going the same way God's going, you can go with her. But Abraham, daddy didn't follow God. And if you're going to serve me, you can't be with him. You're going to be faced over and over and over with that question. Wife, husband, son, daughter, self. Look with me, same chapter, go up this a little bit farther, verse 15. Luke 14:15 says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom. Verse 16 is where I want to be. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his supper, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Ouch. One of these days I'm going to stand before that master. Anthony, I wanted you to go down the road. God, you know, the ball game was on. The Panthers was playing in the Super Bowl. Would you just have me excused? David, that guy at work, I want you to work on him a little bit. God, you know, I'm sort of busy. I got other things I need to do. Wait a minute. You know I'm just working with this right now. Now, this is a stretch, but it's true. I'm not saying he does it. But God, I'm running a bus route. Excuse me, God, I know that's what you told me to do, but, you know, I'm doing this already. I would hate to have to stand before the master. What? Now, man, I wish time hadn't got away from us. Let's put our setting into this thing a little, or put our mind into the setting here. The master had done what? In this story, what did the master do? He prepared a great supper. And he says, hey, you're my friend. And I want you to come in. It's not going to cost you anything. You're going to be in my house. Everything is just going to be laid at your feet. Come on. Well, a little bit over 2,000 years ago, the master laid out on a cross, preparing a great supper. He says, I want you to come. I paid for everything. All you got to do is come. I'd hate to stand before God and, God, I chose that old ox over you. Can you see the prints in his hands? And you chose an old stinking ox? That's what he's trying to tell us. And we're so guilty of choosing what our flesh wants. I want you to see this. I didn't make this up. Look at verse 21. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, now let's stop there. Who is that? Come on. That's the Lord. The master of the house being, what's that word? Help me out. Angry. Boy, I don't want to make God angry. But when I choose to stay in my homeland, when I choose to stay with my kindred, it makes God angry. Because he says, I want you to get out of there. You're mine. You've been bought with a price. Again, I didn't make this up. Look over to Matthew. You'll give me this and one more place, I'll quit for the night. Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Told you earlier, there's a bigger picture. I want to show it to you. And again, I've got some friends, not many. A lot of people that I used to call friend that now I know the Lord a lot better, they're not my friend, not because I don't love them. I still love them. We're just not walking the same way. Again, Abraham had to make some hard choices. I've had to make hard choices. You've had to make hard choices. I'm going to continue to have to make hard choices. You're going to have to continue to make hard choices. But there's a greater picture here. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Look in verse 46. You know, Jesus was a mean man. No, he wasn't. But that's when people read the verses like we just read, that you got to hate something. You got to do something. Oh, he's just mean. Look at verse 46. Here's the Lord. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Woo, son, over here. Woo. That's what Mary was doing. Verse 47, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren. You know, that's the good church folk that wants you not to serve God because it makes them feel better because they're not serving God. So if you're not serving God, you're on the same plane as I'm not serving God. So we're just both not serving God. So we all feel better. That's what most people want. They don't want you to serve God because it brings conviction. Yeah. And then one, verse 47, said unto him, behold, thy mother. You know, that's pretty dumb. I do dumb things all the time. God, you want me to do what? Hey, God, your mama's calling you. That's what he's saying. You know, don't you think he knew that? Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desire to speak with thee. Notice verse 48. But he answered and said unto him, this is what the Lord said, that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I'm a lot closer to my brethren and sisters in Christ than I am with my own family. And even the Lord showed that in those verses. He says, your mama's calling you. Who's my mother? Then he looked at his disciples. There's my mother. And there's my brethren. And there's my sisters. Why? Because they're going the way that I'm going. So you got to see the bigger picture here. Let me show you one really hard one. Look in Leviticus. Back up towards the front of your Bible. I've seen men do things that I cannot for the life of me figure out how in the world they were able to do what they did. Not bad things. I've seen a lot of people do bad things. I know what makes them do that. That's pretty easy. It's this flesh. But I've seen some men and women, again, you go read those books back there in the library, some of those missionary stories, things that God let those men do. Something here happens in Leviticus. Look with me, chapter 10. Aaron, God's man. This is a terrible story, but still true. Look at it. Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 1 says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. What just happened? God killed them. What were they doing? They didn't listen to God. They decide they do what they want to do. There's got to be a better way. This is a whole lot more fun. But God says, that's not what I told you to do. And God's pretty serious about it. Still today, he's really serious about it. And God killed him. Verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzon and the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near and carry your brethren from before the sanctuary of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and unto Ithamar his son, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now, we've all probably faced death in here. Never experienced my child dying. Some of you have. Can't imagine. Can't imagine. The hurt. Remember my grandpa when he died, I was very close to him. Heart broke. But here's Aaron, the preacher. They're in the house of God. And his two boys are disobedient. And God kills them. And God says Moses, or tells Moses, and God tells Aaron, Aaron, do not cry. Do not leave the tabernacle. He calls their family to come in and get those two boys of his, take them out of the tabernacle, and get rid of the bodies. Now, Mama, what would you be doing? That's my baby. That's my boy. I'll follow him. I hate to be mean, because some of you are going to say, boy, he's mean. I know people that used to say they believe one thing. I have not yet been to a lot of hospitals and watched a lot of babies born into this world. I really have. Now, I know everybody says, boy, I want a boy or I want a girl. I have yet. It could happen. It probably does happen now because of sin. But I've yet to be sitting there with daddy and mama and, boy, I hope this young comes out a sodomite. Because they don't want anything to do with that because they know it's wrong. But as soon as that youngin's born and it turns 13, 14 years old, 16, 18, and it turns out it wants to go against God and follow the ways of the world, the devil, and become a sodomite, daddy says, well, that ain't too bad. Know many a man that's done that. Know a lot of preachers that's done that. They had a standard until one of their youngins didn't want to obey, so they dropped their standard so their youngins didn't look so bad. My standards aren't built on what my daddy taught me. My standards aren't built on what I, myself. My standards, the best I know, are built on this Bible. And they're not going to change. But God is so serious about this thing. He told Aaron, says, look, your boy's messed up. And there's a great price. And the thing is what God was telling Aaron, you got the whole nation of Israel watching you. You're their spiritual leader. And if you let this go, if you don't stand and make a stand and know that I'm right and they were wrong, you're going to lead the whole nation of Israel away from me. So let me ask you this evening. The Lord said, if you don't hate your daddy, your mama, your brothers, your sisters, your own flesh, you cannot be my disciple. The Lord said, if you don't take up the cross, you can't be my disciple. Abraham, you got to leave home. Abraham, you've got to leave Daddy. Now, Abraham didn't do that. He took Daddy with him, and it cost him. You find that Abraham left. We don't have time to look at all this. I'll kick some of this up the next time, hopefully. But you go back over there, especially go over Hebrews chapter 11 and read there about Abraham and the faith of Abraham. Abraham left home, didn't leave his kindred, and took him with him. Abraham never made another step for God until his daddy died. And there's some things in my life, and there's some things in your life you're never going to... God spoke. Remember what we just read over in Acts? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared unto Abraham, and he never appeared again unto Abraham until after his daddy had died. Why? Because there's no shortcuts serving God. There's not. If you're truly, well, preacher, I'm serving God. Are you? What's your definition of that? Now, if it's the definition you came up with, you're not. But if you've left everything, you go back over there. We'll see it again. We'll look at it next week. But you find also Abraham, after his daddy died, God brings him into that promised land. And he took all with him. He said, I'm all in. I've given it all to him. Have you given it all? It's 100% or none. 99 ain't good enough. And the thing is, listen to me, mamas, daddies, grandma, grandpas, whoever we are. It's playing a great effect on your generations to come. You better pay attention to these verses. I'm not saying this to be ugly. I'm just trying to get you to see God's wanting us to do something. And we can do something. But you're going to do it God's way. And don't you try to cut and paste. If it don't line up with this book, you're wrong. If it don't line up this book, I'm wrong. Abraham, what a man. What a man. Let's stand this evening.